From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. The ink isn't dry on last week's 11th-hour budget agreement, but already both sides are turning their attention to the next big fight. It's over the nation's debt limit, which we're expected to reach later this spring. President Obama will weigh in with his own plan to address the debt and deficit in a major speech on Wednesday. NPR's national political correspondent Mara Liasson sets the stage for us.
The sword hanging over Congress and the White House during the budget fight was a partial government shutdown. But the consequences for defaulting on the U.S. debt are much more serious. And that's one of the reasons President Obama decided to lay out his own plan for long-term deficit reduction this week.
This is not so much a moment where he has to come forward. This is a moment where he wants to come forward.
That's former Clinton White House Chief of Staff John Podesta. On Wednesday, the president is expected to embrace the approach of the Gang of Six, three Republicans and three Democrats in the Senate who've been trying to find a way to enact the plan of the president's own deficit commission, a plan the president has until now kept at arm's length. It would include caps on domestic and defense spending, further restraints on Medicare, and possibly reforms to Social Security. This change in approach, from staying on the sidelines to jumping right into the fiscal debate, surprised Democrats in Congress, many of whom don't want big changes to entitlements. Now, says Podesta, the president must reassure them he won't give away the store.
He has some work to do with Democrats. But again, he's got a great foil, I think, in the Ryan budget, which, as you know, slashes spending tremendously. More than two-thirds of the proposed cuts in the Ryan budget come from low-income programs. And yet Ryan doesn't really reduce the deficit because he's got so many tax cuts for the wealthy.
Republicans like former Bush White House aide Pete Wehner think the president is weighing in with too little, too late, only after Republican House Budget Committee Chair Paul Ryan put forward his deficit plan.
Presidents have a tremendous ability to run ahead and grab a flag and to lead. But Obama's in a weaker situation than most presidents, primarily because he's been missing in action on the budget issues. And you can't make up for that in a single speech.
But Wehner acknowledges the president's strategy to lay low and smoke out the GOP might have political advantages.
There's no question that Obama wanted Republicans to go first, which they've done, and I think to their credit, they went first. And Obama now is going to try and tell the public that he wants to achieve the same ends, but he wants to do it through more reasonable means. And if he can get away with that, his chances for reelection are going to be vastly improved.
And that's the political backdrop for the next high-stakes fiscal battle. Already, the Republicans' bottom line is clear. Here's House Majority Leader Eric Cantor in an interview yesterday.
Well, I don't think there's any question. What we're demanding for the debt ceiling vote is to be able to tell the American people that we're not going to keep spending money we don't have in the way that's been the habit in the past.
Republicans certainly came out of the budget negotiations feeling like winners, but John Podesta warns that a threatened debt default, unlike a partial government shutdown, might give the president more cards to play.
His maximum leverage in the debt ceiling fight is the real need to not have the country default. For as much as the conservatives want to huff and puff about it, if they were permit the country to go into default for the first time in our history, the Republicans would be really playing with matches if they decide that they can take this up to the 11th hour.
More than anything else, the resolution of this next big debate may depend on two men, President Obama and House Speaker Boehner.
I think it's a growing and strengthening relationship. And it needs to be.
That's David Plouffe, the president's top political adviser, who points out that in the last couple of weeks, Barack Obama and John Boehner spent more time together on the phone and in person than they ever had before.
When you go through a process like this, like the president and the speaker did, you learn a lot about the other person and you do build up trust. And you understand that you do have the ability, even if it comes at the last moment, to find common ground.
Maybe not as comfortable yet as Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, but it's the power relationship that counts the most in Washington these days. And it will be tested in the weeks leading up to the debt ceiling deadline. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.